B-Pod Studios.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in one of our elected officials, Jones, to be state rep and, I have discovered, Sports Hub listener.
Nice.
Mark Lombardo, who was tweeting yesterday about the latest as it relates to the sports betting bill in Massachusetts. Mark, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Adam. Great to be with you guys.
All right. So what is the development yesterday? What's the importance of the development yesterday for those who haven't heard about it or sort of been following this? What happened?
Well, as you guys probably know, we've been struggling to get a gaming bill, a sports wagering bill, passed in the legislature. The House passed one last session. The Senate failed to act on one and continuously rejected it, both in budget and as a standalone bill. So, what happened this week, there was a poll over the weekend, and there was two different versions of a sports wagering bill that was in a committee called the Economic Development and Emerging Technologies Committee. Version that was created by the House ended up coming out of that committee and referred over to Ways and Means. That is a pathway to a vote. And so this Thursday, the House is going to vote on one of those versions of the bill. The challenge that still is ahead is whether the Senate is going to take up this bill A, at all, or B, expeditiously, and then what kind of back and forth comes with it, because there's always a back and forth that sometimes can kill bills, even if they've passed in one of the chambers.
So what's your sense? Do you think it is going to be taken up? Do you get the sense that there is a desire on the part of the Senate to get into this?
So it does feel different this year. They have put forward their own bills that they hadn't previously done with as much movement. So I think something gets done. It's just a matter of when. So keep in mind, this session runs technically through the end of 2022. So it may not happen immediately. It could, right? The House is going to vote on our session, our version on Thursday. The Senate will then take it up when they're ready, and that could be shortly thereafter in the days ahead. But I would guess it's going to be more towards the fall. And then at that point, then you've got to get what is called a conference committee, where you have three members of the House, three members of the Senate, and they sit in a room and they fight with each other and try to put up one version of the bill for both bodies to then to vote and move forward. So my gut is something gets done, but I don't think it gets done in the next several weeks.
No, that's not exciting.
Well,
I thought we may have been close, that everyone wanted to jump on board and get on the same page and get this thing done soon, but it feels like maybe there's a little bit more of the waiting game.
Well, I think what's different this time is that the Senate at least pulled out their version of a bill. And so why that is significant is before they didn't even want to take this up. They didn't want to talk about it. They just wanted to reject it. They didn't even want to bring it to the floor. So I think there is movement. The things with Beacon Hill is that, you know, you've got the Speaker of the House and you've got the Senate President that control the flow of the agenda. And you just don't know what's going to make it in any given day. Up until this weekend, we had no idea that sports betting was coming to the House of the floor of the House. And here we are 4 days later, and it's here. So can it happen fast? Absolutely. Will it? You know, government on Beacon Hill doesn't tend to move lightning fast, so you just don't know. But I'm hoping it's different, that the Senate is at least open to doing something this time around, whereas before they just haven't shown any movement.
Well, so we've talked about the timeline of all this in the past. Like you mentioned, it could move expeditiously. It could not. I think you mentioned the word maybe they could take it up immediately, meaning the Senate. We don't know. Like, if it were to be immediate, in your terms, because like we say immediate and we're like, oh yeah, tomorrow, like what would immediate be in terms of a timeline for you know, members of this state to actually wager on sports?
So immediate would be weeks, and then you have depending if they put an emergency preamble, you either have, you know, 30 days or immediate enactment, or sometimes there's a 60 or 90 day window. Then you got to remember, you know, as with all things in Massachusetts, they've got to set up all their regulatory, all their process. The part of this bill is setting up this big government apparatus to oversee everything, make sure they get their piece of their taxes. And so that will take time, right? Because that stuff is complex. They're going to set up the same type of background checks and security overview of the entire process. So do I think anyone will be placing any bets in 2021, even if the bill is passed this year? No, because you got to set up all that infrastructure. Do I think there could be bets placed in Massachusetts by 2022? I do.
So one of the questions that I know some of our bankroll boys have been talking about is when there's discussion of taxing the sort of the revenues that come in. Based on this bill, is it taxing the books and those that are, obviously operators, or is it taxing the consumer when you see some of these tax rates that are thrown around? My understanding was that when you're talking about 12% or 13%, that's on the books and the operators, correct?
That is correct. That's the version of the bill I read. It was just that. It is 12.5% on the operator's adjusted gross wagering receipts for the in-person gambling. And the bill, as it stands today, is a 15% excise tax on the operator's adjusted gross wage receipts for the mobile or digital platform.
Right, which means
it's not on the operators, not on us.
Yeah, it's not on the consumer. It's not on those that are placing wagers. I just have a question in general about, you mentioned sort of how things work on Beacon Hill and how the Senate, you know, gave no indication prior to this week that they were even going to take this up. Why is it that so many legislators, I know you're not one of them, but so many of them just don't care about this and don't at all have this on their radar? And I know it is not the most important thing. There are far more important issues that you are dealing with in the House and in the Senate. But why is it that this thing just seems to continue to get brushed off to the side?
Beetle, I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't. It doesn't make sense to me either. Here you have the Commonwealth, who has robust gaming. Right, we know the Commonwealth loves their tax money. Right, they'll tax anything that walks, moves, or functions. This is an obvious source of revenue, and coincides with gaming that's already in the Commonwealth. You hear these talks of they want millionaires' taxes and they want to raise taxes for X, Y, and Z. Well, here's an obvious source of revenue. We know New Hampshire and the rest of New England states are doing this. The budget, the governor's proposals and his budgets for the last several years have included some online gaming, gambling on sports, anticipating that we would do something. So all indications suggest that this body should be loving the idea of sports waging, and yet they haven't done it. The Senate just has not done it. I don't know why. I wish I had a good answer for you.
So in a story that I read, there was an anonymous individual quoted at $70 million in revenue, seemed like a target, or a reasonable number. Does that sound like a reasonable number to you?
It does, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's conservative.
What about the college angle in this? And you were quick to point this out yesterday, and it's apparently a revision because I didn't think this was a part of it, but it clearly was. That is that games that have college teams involved, you can't bet on the individual sort of statistics, but you can bet on college games as long as it is a team aspect that you're wagering on. That's a big sticking point for me because I think that if that's not included, you're going to have a hard time convincing people to stop wagering how they currently are wagering. So is that a big point to you, and do you think that's going to last through the process?
I think you're spot on. If you don't have that, people are going to continue to go out of state. So I do think it's a big deal. I don't know that it's going to be a sticking point, though. I think once this bill emerges in a final form, I think, generally speaking, the common sense dictates that this is a huge part of the sports wagering market. And you nailed it. The games will be, as the bill is currently written, able to be bet on, but they're taking out those individual statistics. The bill also dictates that, in general, there is no betting on things like injuries or penalties or player discipline or replay reviews. I think all of those are probably pretty common across different states to take out any idea of fixing or corruption in the gaming.
So that, I hope, does last, and I hope that there's actual some real progress on this because it feels like it's been too long. I think you shared that opinion. This has just gone on too long at this point.
Yeah, it sure has, and again, this is some movement, finally, And, you know, again, as you said, most people think immediate action means, you know, let's move this thing in days. By the way, Beacon Hill has shown when something's important enough to them, they will move in days. This one, I think, may take a few months still. I think the Senate probably will go on vacation in August and come to look at this thing in the fall. That sets us up for an early 2022 setup of the infrastructure, and hopefully at some point in 2022, that means people can stop going out of state and keep their money here in Massachusetts.
Again, it's State Representative Mark Lombardo who is with us. Who needs prodding? Who do we need to poke? Is there anyone we need to call out and get after on this? Who's holding this thing up? I've been looking for names the entire time. Who's our problem person in the House or in the Senate? Who do we need to go after?
So what I would say just in general to have your listeners reach out to their senators. The Senate is going to control this, and you know they will certainly be able to decide at what pace this bill goes. Senate Eric Lesner is an author of the Senate version of the bill and will have significant influence in the Senate on this. But it's not just Senator Lesner; it is collectively. There are 40 senators. So, you know, it's not that hard to find out who your senator is. You can go online. You go to malegislature.gov. You can see who your senator is, their email and their phone number are there, and call them and tell them you want this done.
Mark, I'm going to tell you, Lesser's a problem. We had him on. We talked to him, and he's against college gaming, and I don't think he fully grasped what the hell he's talking about. That's my honest opinion of Eric Lesser, state senator. I know he's an important piece of this, but I think there are too many people that are either in your position or in the Senate and don't have a grasp, and I'm not saying you're one of them because I don't think you are, but I don't think they have a grasp on what this is all about. They've never been a consumer of this type of product. They don't fully understand the sports that are involved. They don't fully understand the wagering. They've never gone to a sports book. They've never bet online. They've never played fantasy sports. In one breath, Eric Lesser was telling us that there needs to be a full ban on college sports, and in the second, you know, a second later, he's telling us about the only gambling he's ever done was a college basketball pool. And I said, "I'm like, isn't that a little contradictory? I mean, what are we doing here?" And I think there are too many people like him that don't grasp what this is actually all about. They have no idea what the consumer end of it is like. None, clueless.
I think you nailed it, right? So, you know, up in Beacon Hill, you have all walks of life. Right. If there is a highly specialized healthcare policy, I'm not going to be your expert, right? But you're right. If you've never done this, if you've never gone to a sports book, if you've never been to Vegas or anywhere else and done this, you don't understand it. And certainly, if you exclude college sports, you are cutting out a gigantic piece of the marketplace. You will lose your consumers. You will have a very ineffective product in the Commonwealth. And this is where that conference committee process is going to come into place. And it's something that we hope the House can win out on. Otherwise, this could be the stalemate again, and it would be, you know, extremely unfortunate if that's what happens here. If you're going to do this, you've got to do it right. Look at the models across the country. You know, we're not the first. In fact, I think there's been 24 other states that have done this. They all include collegiate sports. We shouldn't be the one exemption of, you know, for some moral high ground. Let's do it right.
They also don't understand how the fixes happen. They don't happen with above board gambling. That's not where fixes happen. You got to get that point across to these guys. Mark, really appreciate your time. Appreciate your efforts. Appreciate your support for passing a bill and passing the right one.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Great having you. Mark Lombardo, state rep from the 22nd Middlesex. That guy gets it. Many others that don't.
He encouraged me a little bit. It started a little like, oh boy, like this. Well, you know, we passed it, but the Senate could drag this out till the end of 2022. That's how long the session runs.
They could.
It started a little a bit of a downer from him, but he said, like, you know, I don't expect people in the Commonwealth to be taking bets in 2021, but 2022?
He feels the way that most of us feel.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, come on. Can we get this moving already?
Right. And it's, you know, I agree with you. Is it the most important thing in the world? No.
No.
But an extra $70 million revenue, which he said was conservative.
If you do it right, if you include the college sports, and you can actually attract
and I'm with
people
you.
To switch to the product here.
Correct. I'm with you, because if you don't have college sports betting in state, then people are, what are you going to do? You're going to bet half your NFL bets here and then go out of state for all your college bets?
No, you're going to stick with your current provider. If that's DraftKings or FanDuel out of state, you know, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, wherever it is you are.
You're not going to splinter it like it's Hulu and Netflix or something like that.
Oh, I'm going to do my NFL betting on the Massachusetts app.
Correct.
But then when it's time to go and bet on college, then I'm going to go down to Rhode Island. And you're just going to stick with whatever you are. But that's where the online operators can become sort of important in this, because if it's DraftKings, right, and you're in Massachusetts and you can place a wager on football now legally, you don't have to make that drive. You're still going to make that drive to New Hampshire when it's college football season, or when it's March Madness. You're going to make that drive. And then those are wagers that are placed in a different state that are getting taxed in a different state. And the wagers are still happening, and you're still a resident of Massachusetts, and you are throwing your money and tax dollars at surrounding states for no good reason. That's the funny part. You could be splitting bets up over state lines in the same app.
Yeah, and look,
that could potentially happen.
It's just, again, is it the most important thing in the world? No. But could the state use an extra $70 million in revenue if they did it right? And if that's conservative, yeah, of course the state could use that. So that's the importance of it.
But I hope Senator Lesser.
Along with just us being able to make our bets.
I just hope Senator Lesser is able to sign up for the Massachusetts Senate March Madness pool that I'm sure they're running every year, as he told us. He does participate in those.
I like the blue team.
What color uniform do they wear?
Who's their mascot? No, it's Tigers versus Tigers.
All right.
What do I do?
We're late. Our thanks again to Mark Lombardo. Don't go anywhere. More to come this hour. Some Red Sox items. They won last night. They were in Buffalo, of all places. And some Bruin stuff this hour as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sacks that one well. Gurriel turning, and that ball is gone! He got it out of the ballpark for his first major league home run. Swinging a high fly ball. That one deep. Back it goes. It is. Grand slam. Oh, swing. He turns on this one. Here's another rocket. Watch this baby go. Wow. The Red Sox with their third home run of the first inning.
Oh, aren't the Red Sox amazing, Jones? Aren't they just amazing?
Yeah, wow.
Blah. They got a little blue fest last night.
Did you?
What are you going to say? Oh, man, did I ever. Holy crap. You suggest that maybe the Red Sox, after losing three straight series and looking like a dead-ass team Saturday and Sunday in the Bronx, you wonder if they're starting to slip a little bit or coming back to earth.
Huh.
Well, good for them. They bounced back last night. Credit where credit is due. They actually showed up and played last night. They stopped pouting the way they were pouting in New York over the weekend. I guess a change of scenery to Buffalo will do that for you.
That's what it is. I'd caution any Red Sox fan, too, like taking a victory lap. Like, they won the first game against the Angels, too, and lost the series. They won the first game against Philadelphia and lost the series.
Right.
They won the first game against the Yankees and lost the series. So, like, are you even paying attention? Like, they won the first game of the series. Big deal. And they came out and jumped all over Toronto last night, and they led 8-0. Fine. Big deal. You had a big first inning. Let's see if that carries over. Because I still think last night felt awfully panicky from the Red Sox. I know everybody's ready to give Cora all this credit for his new lineup. Like, look at Alex Cora pushing the right buttons. Let's see. Because that felt panicky. And it feels like Alex Cora knows something is wrong with the team. And that's why he did what he did last night, dropping Verdugo to eighth or wherever he hit, dropping JD Martinez down to fifth, which I think is stupid and I don't think is going to work out, moving Jaron Duran up to number two. That felt panicky, and it felt like he knows something's wrong with the team, which, if you're following even tangentially, you know. Kike Hernandez whining and crying. Alex Verdugo melting down over the weekend, and Cora pulling the team off the field. The stupid Twitter account. Like, there's something off with the Red Sox over the last week plus. There is.
Yeah, I don't look at it and say that it's panicky. I don't think that's panicky. I think that's, okay, I see an issue here, and I got to change it up and just shake it up to get a reaction. And I think that's good managing. Like, I don't put as much weight on the lineup as some people do. I know some people obsess over it, and I get it. Over the course of 162, the composition of your lineup is very important. But for one game, let's see how long it lasts, is what I would say.
Well, right. If it's one game, then I'll agree. But if this is like...
Say it's the week, right? And they tinker it and they put it back together next week. But you got a reaction and you sort of straighten some guys out, then it's okay. In fact, I think it's one of the few tools that a manager has to shake things up and get guys' attention, and, you know, or to make things feel different. And I look at Cora and say, well, don't get all pissy with the people that are saying, is something going on with this team? Are they starting to slip? The manager thinks they're starting to slip. And that's why he changed the lineup last night.
And I don't think it's a coincidence it's 10 days out from the trade deadline either. Like, I wonder, and I agree, if this is just
I think it's a good job by Cora. I give him credit. I'm not lumping him in the group of things that have not gone
well. Well, let's see how long the lineup sticks for, because I'm with you. If it's just a week or a couple of days, well, then fine. If it goes back to what it was, fine. JD Martinez shouldn't be hitting fifth on any planet. He shouldn't be hitting fifth. You want to drop down Verdugo, fine. But if this is a finite change, then I'll ultimately circle back to where you're at.
Thank you. I'm reserving judgment because it's been one game.
But in the meantime, I think this is as much a message to Chaim Bloom as anything. Like, hey, Chaim, we need a shakeup. We need something. So don't sit on this trove, which, you know, I think is exaggerating a little bit. But all your prospects, your precious little farm system that you rebuilt, the big league club needs something. Bobby Dalbec can't hit. Who led off last night? Like, the top two spots in the order. I guess Kike Hernandez had a good night. I don't think Duran's going to last at number two. So I think they need something. They need a couple of things, not just pitching, which they need. They need help at first base. I still think they could use more help in the outfield, unless you think Duran is the long-term answer, which, you know, nice little home run last night in a Triple-A ballpark, but nice little home run last night.
Well, they played in a Triple-A ballpark over the weekend. Didn't help them there either.
Where? Oh, you're
Yankee
saying
Stadium.
I see what you're at. It's at least technically, it's technically a big league field, but yes, that's an awfully short porch in left field. Like, this is an actual Triple-A ballpark that he's knocking home runs out of the yard. So I think it's as much a message to Bloom as anybody else. The players, the fans, it's as much a message to Bloom. Like, hey, we got 10 days. Can you help the big club and not worry about next year and your precious little farm system? Because we need something.
Do you like the Jarren Duran, Jacoby Ellsbury comp that some have made?
No, because I think this guy is much more power, which, you know, maybe Jacoby Ellsbury coming into Major League Baseball, or excuse me, Jarren Duran coming into Major League Baseball was a good comp for Ellsbury. I don't know if you've seen the size of this kid, Beetle, but he has bulked up significantly.
Oh, I think he's been on a good training regimen?
Since he was drafted. Well, he came in as a slap-hitting second baseman, and now he is, I don't know if you've seen his arms, but he's giving Carrabba's a run for his money.
Damn!
with the guns this guy has. So, yeah, he's got a lot more power than Ellsbury. I haven't seen the functional speed yet, so I guess we'll see. But no, I mean, I think this guy has more pop in his bat. Certainly than early career Ellsbury, maybe later career Ellsbury, meaning here in Boston where he had his, you know, his one power season where he hit mid-30s or high-30s, whatever it was in terms of home runs. Maybe closer to that Jacoby Ellsbury than early career Ellsbury.
It's Grady Sizemore is the one you hear a lot, too.
Is that right?
What did A-Rod say? Trot Nixon?
Yeah, what a stupid one that was. That was ridiculous. 617-779-0985. Good to see him hit a home run, despite it being in Buffalo. Future trivia question right there. Where did Jarren Duran hit his first major league home run? Buffalo. Congratulations. Buffalo.
In Triple-A. That's where he hit his first big league home run in Triple-A.
In Triple-A. Let's get back to your thoughts. Red Sox thought. We've got more on that. We've also got a Bruins update. Jones, you get some thoughts on expansion in the NHL.
Sure.
That's what it says here. It says you've got thoughts on expansion.
Yeah, sure.
Did you express that to T-Bone at some point?
I don't know. I got thoughts on everything, Beetle.
What a tease.
I got thoughts. There's thoughts.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah, expansion draft.
You have Bruins thoughts. We all have Bruins thoughts.
Yeah.
You want Suter?
Sure.
Wow, this is going to be hot take city coming up after these headlines of McCone. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and
Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what probably we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Up here, I was always really proud of that.
All right, Jones. Let's talk about Bruins offseason stuff.
Oh, good.
But first, let's talk about the Kraken.
Okay.
What do you think about expansion? What are your...
My grandmother from Ballard and my grandfather from Linden would entertain my siblings and cousins and I with tales of sea voyages and beasts in the deep.
Yes. Thank you, Heidi. Jones' thoughts on expansion is here on my rundown.
Yeah.
The T-Bone said you had thoughts on expansion.
Sure.
What are they?
Well, I mean, in general, I'm okay with the NHL expanding. Just, you don't do yourself any favors from people who aren't hardcore hockey fans to not make fun of your league and think your league is rinky-dink when you have a team coming in named the Seattle Kraken. Like, I don't think that does you any favors. I think when you're bringing in this organization, it'd be nice to just have something that didn't sound like a minor league baseball team, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds Mickey Mouse in minor league, and that's what the Kraken are. So I don't have a problem with the league expanding. I don't really have a problem with Bruins fans breaking
down. Obviously, Jones, you are speaking from a position of ignorance.
Why?
My friend.
Why?
Because you obviously do not know the history.
I don't know the long backstory of the Pacific
Kraken.
Northwest. No, I know I don't. That's
and
true.
Galloping Gertie. You obviously needed this history
Gertie
lesson.
And the legend
yep.
of the King Octopus under Tacoma Narrows Bridge.
They should have named it King Octopus. The Seattle King Octopus is what they should have named it. I would take that more seriously than the stupid Kraken.
So you think the name is...
Well, I think the name is just representative of the whole rinky-dink way that the NHL operates.
You
that's
didn't feel
all.
That way when they introduced the Columbus Blue Jackets?
No,
I mean, the Blue Jacket name was sort of...
No, this is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
I think
so
there's,
you
I think
feel
there's,
like the way they've done it is bad.
I think there's been a lot of these that sound like they might as well be an MLS team or like a minor league baseball team.
Okay.
Like, it might as well be the Savannah Golden Bananas or whatever they
I think
are. Like
they're
that,
all...
That,
I think
you might as well be that.
The names are sort of representative of what modern teams end up getting named.
Too stupid.
Yeah. Modern times are sort of stupid.
Yeah, well, that's not wrong, but I feel like you could do better than the Seattle Kraken. Like, I remember when we saw the list of names.
What did you think when baseball introduced the Rockies and the Marlins? You said you would have said the same thing
probably,
at that time.
I probably would have, but with the
Baby
benefit
Jones,
of, but the benefit of 20 years of hindsight, I'd go,
like,
pretty good names.
Seven-year-old
pretty
Jones.
Pretty good names compared to stupid. If you told me in 20 years the Kraken would
right.
be a name, I'd go, you know what? Marlins, not so bad.
What year did they announce
Rockies,
the Marlins?
Rockies, not so bad.
Early
like 90s? 93?
All right, so they came into play in, what, 94?
Yeah.
That sound right?
That sounds about right. Sure. I think they were in RBI 94. Yeah, I think I remember
you
both
like
those
the
teams.
Golden Knights?
No, I don't. That's exactly what I'm saying. I feel like the NHL has more of these
93
than other
was their first season. So they began playing 93. Let's assume they announced it a year or two before that.
Yeah, I remember using Jeff Conine in RBI 94. Yeah.
Okay.
With the Marlins.
I'm willing to bet that if we could go back in time, we would have said the same thing then that we're going to say now about the Kraken. I've sort of gotten over this thing. The rinky-dink names.
I haven't gotten over it. Still,
why are you not over this?
Because it's dumb. That's why.
Which expansion team in any sport has had a good name?
I feel like the NHL has had worse. That's all I'm telling you.
It's just worse than everybody
yes.
else.
Blue Jackets and Golden Knights and
Oklahoma
Kraken.
Said, like, so Seattle lost their basketball team and they yep. became the Thunder.
Yeah, yeah, NBA is pretty bad.
That screams rinky-dink minor league team name.
True. What's Seattle going to be for basketball? I bet their basketball will be better than the Kraken.
They'll go back to the Sonics.
When they expand.
And the Sonics were probably viewed when the Sonics came into play as a stupid name.
Raptors, Grizzlies, Magic. They're pretty terrible.
I like Raptors. I like Raptors. I don't like Thunder. I don't like Magic. I do like Grizzlies. At least that's a real thing. Name it a real thing.
I think
Kraken's not a real thing.
If you say you're a diehard fan of that team, do you get laughed at or not? Like, I'm a diehard Magic fan. Like, that's not a real thing. There's no way someone's a diehard Magic
fan. I don't like Magic. I don't like Thunder. Yeah. NBA's second worst. NHL's worst at this. NHL's the worst. Just name it after a real thing. That's all. That shouldn't be that high of a criteria or that high of a bar to clear.
Blue Jacket is a real thing.
Is it? Was it Civil
is.
War? Is it Civil War related?
Yeah.
What was it?
Wearing blue jackets.
Yeah.
Jones doesn't like the ones that aren't plural.
Oh, is it that?
I was saying this the other day. I said, what do you call them now? A Kraken? You're a Kraken? you get Kraken, taken. So Thunder. If Carey Price were to be selected this week, we're going to say he's no longer a Canadian. He's a Kraken.
He's a Kraken, yes.
It almost sounds like it's a verb. Like he's Kraken something.
He plays for Seattle.
Oh, he's a Kraken.
Yeah. I would just stick with he plays for Seattle. Yes.
He plays for
But that's what I would stick with, because they're not probably going to keep Kraken for very long. They'll probably change that name in like 10 years.
So
the truth is, hockey's always been here.
Always been there, Jones.
Yep. Yeah, sure. What they have? There's like a WHL team out there.
Can right? I tell you what I do think is a little bit of a reflective of the NHL and where they are in terms of how they rank against other sports?
Sure.
Do you know what their expansion fee is?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it like $20 million or something like that? Or that's the net that each team gets.
So
I think each team collects like $20 million in expansion fees.
That sounds right, yeah. Because the expansion fee is $650 million. Do you know what it would be if baseball were to do it? Rob Manfred talked about it this year. If they do expand it, you know, Nashville wants a team.
A billion?
Over $2 billion.
Wow.
He thinks it'd be somewhere in the range of $2.25 billion. That just goes to show.
A dying sport. It's asking for four times what the NHL is asking. Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
A sport that probably should not keep expanding.
No.
In baseball.
No.
And I'm not sure the NHL should keep expanding, but they keep every sport keeps doing it. We're not that far away from the NFL finding another city. I think they're tapped out. I don't know where they would put another team, but they'll find it. They'll figure it out.
Mm.
Where would the NFL put another team if they were to expand right
here?
Now?
I mean, international is the obvious answer.
No, I know. That's why I think London keeps coming up, because I think they realize they're tapped out in the American market. Where else would you put an NFL team?
Quincy?
St. Louis.
Worcester.
St. Louis, they'd be going back to St. Louis, where they already had to pull a team out of there.
Yep. Hasn't stopped them before. They just went back to L.A.
No, I know. But L.A. is the biggest media market in the country.
Sure. They kept ping-ponging back and forth between Oakland and L.A. I mean, Oakland's a bigger market than St. Louis as well.
I hear San Antonio get brought up, and I go, ugh. For what? You're not going to have fans there. They're all Cowboy fans.
I like McCone's idea. Worcester.
Worcester!
Too windy to play baseball there, though. Way too windy.
Cam could be the quarterback. Yeah. Keep it on the ground.
You just can't throw a pass at Worcester. It's way too windy.
I would give, again, I think the states are tapped out. I would give them two international options. One would be Toronto.
Sure.
Which I think the players would go for. And you would just have to, you know, translate into those Canadian dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, conversion.
Yep. Loonies. You got to get paid in loonies and toonies.
The other one would be, and I don't think players would be as you know, willing to do this, but Mexico City would be a good one.
Great field.
Mexico City could be one.
Yep.
I don't think they'll ever go there, though, on a full-time permanent basis. I think they'd go to London before they go there. But Toronto, to me, seems like a good option, but it's so close to Buffalo that I get why that's an issue. But give Canada a team. Toronto could be Canada's team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Call them Team Canada. Would that be an okay expansion team for you?
Yes. Team Canada. I like that.
Well, they could be the Canadians.
Canadians, sure.
CFT.
You can name something after like a moose.
CFT.
The Canadian football team.
Yes.
I like it. Now we're talking. That's something real. Better than Kraken.
I'm in on it.
The CFT is better than Kraken.
We got sidetracked here. We are going to.
What did you want to ask me about? Who the Bruins should have kept?
We will talk Bruins.
DeBrusque or Nick Ritchie? Like, honestly, what's the difference?
We'll get to Bruins.
What's the difference?
You know what? I can't put off the Bezos thing anymore. It's been on the center. We have not switched over to our own broadcast in the studio 2 hours in for some reason. And now they've got Bezos up there like he's an astronaut coming back from space.
Yeah.
On the panel.
Yeah. He was up there for almost 10 minutes.
Can we roll on this? Do you guys have this? Can you please roll on whatever it is that this idiot is about to say? They're pinning him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What is this? Space camp?
No, he's like a he's like a Boy Scout.
Oh, my God.
Like a Girl Scout.
We need to get to this.
Yeah, that's what he is.
I didn't even know this was happening until I was listening to TNR this morning. And now
you didn't know he was going to space for 10 minutes?
I didn't know he was going up to space for 10
minutes.
10 minutes.
He passed what I said.
He wasn't there 10 minutes. Yeah. He was there 10 seconds.
I'm rounding up.
We're getting to that next, too. You want to stick around for that. Idiot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There are a few people I know more deserving of this, Jeff. Seriously. And I don't know what you're going to do next, but I can't wait to watch. Congratulations.
Jeff Bezos and his friends here.
Well, that was Mark talking, I believe, right? That was his brother.
Mark Bezos, brother of Jeff, also on the trip to space this morning, which they claim lasted 11 minutes.
Blue Origin. Let's pay it its proper name.
You know, this is like a space go-kart, okay? This is not a spaceship. This is not actually driving the big actual car. This is a go-kart. This is going to the amusement park.
Yeah. Space training wheels.
What's with all the rich guys this week measuring their Richards by going to space? First it was Branson, now it's Bezos?
Well, Bezos crossed the Karman line, Beetle, which Richard Branson did not. So Bezos, he beat him.
Bezos, it's so
little,
big.
He went a little higher.
Oh, it's so big.
But Branson went there first. So, you know,
how inadequate Branson probably feels right now.
It's like Karman line. Bezos.
Oh, damn it. Oh. Bezos has got such a trouser snake there that he's able to go over the Karman line. Oh, I feel so inadequate.
Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is like, I get why he's bringing his whole family up there.
These guys are all clowns.
My family didn't deserve it, but he can bring his brother up there if he wants. Sure.
Self-indulgent clowns, these guys. Going to space, literally on the space go-kart, right? Flirting with potential disaster. Talk about the money and the life that these guys can live. And this is what they want to do. They want to become fake astronauts.
Yeah, you don't want to be a space.
Screw all these guys.
You don't want to be a spaceman when you were a kid.
You know what? If you really want to be a spaceman, buy your way onto a shuttle launch. Okay, which they haven't had in a decade. But that's like big boy going to space.
Yeah, we're getting there. I think if you really want to impress me, go live on the moon. That's what I think. You gotta live there for a little while. At least have like a temporary residence
on
the moon.
What a bunch of clowns.
Then I'd be impressed.
To have the means and to have the life that this guy could live and never have to really, really worry about anything ever again, at least from a, you know, security standpoint financially. The guy could buy an island and disappear and we'd never see him again.
You don't think he already owns islands?
That's what he should do.
He probably already does.
I mean, talk about.
He has more money than he could spend. And he already owes his wife half of it. He's still doing
this. Man, if it weren't for all these other people on that flight today, I would not have minded seeing that thing go like, you know, oh, you got an Apollo 13 situation? MacGyver your way out of that. I'm not saying I'm wishing death. I'm saying complications.
Yeah,
right?
Like an Apollo 13.
Like a main bus B, you know?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Like issues from Apollo 13 arise. Oh, yeah. Now you want to be a spaceman? Well, let's see you fix it, Bezos.
Yeah. Well, and at least they went around the moon. It catapulted them back to Earth, you see. Spoiler alert. Some things went wrong on Apollo 13. Tom Hanks screamed, Houston, I think we have a problem. And the moon's gravity catapulted them back towards Earth. That's how they did it. Mm-hmm. I think. I haven't seen that movie in a while, but I think that's what they did.
They're talking about these guys as if they're crew members after a historic space flight. I've seen that movie. I've seen Jim Lovell. MacGyver the craft to get it back to Earth. We've seen that happen in real life.
Yep.
Like, what are we talking about? This is not historic. This is stupid.
They passed the Karman line.
Oh my God. Like, you know, Jack Swaggart, park that thing, rookie. Like, what? He doesn't do any of that. And no, that's what I was rooting for. No. I was rooting for, like, he had to actually do something on the flight.
It was an autonomous flight, so he's not going to do it.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
A master alarm.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tank.
Stirred the O2. What are you talking about? I want him to stir the O2. I want him to hit some buttons while he's up there.
No, he didn't hit any buttons.
I wanted there to be some complications that he had to get himself out of to earn his pin.
I see. You wanted to kind of grade him on a curve.
On how it felt? Oh, my God. My expectations were high, and they were dramatically exceeded. We were talking about this a little bit in the car ride on the way back, and I don't know, the zero G piece may have been one of the biggest surprises because it felt so normal. It felt so like almost like we were as humans evolved to be in that environment, which I know is impossible. But it felt so serene and peaceful and the floating. It's actually much nicer than being in full one gravity.
Is this how he talks? He's talked like this the whole time, Bezos?
What? And you know what?
Well, what's
shame on any of the networks.
This is how this guy's always talked.
So we have it on CNN. Shame on CNN and shame on anybody who's actually covering this today like it's anything of any significance.
CNN's still covering. They've been like breathlessly covering it since like 9 a.m.
Moronic. Shame on you. What a waste of time. What a waste of everybody's time. Yeah, it's historic. Why? Oh, because we sent a rich guy into space. Oh, well, we've sent like literally hundreds of other Americans into space before. Hundreds. They've been there. They've been in the orbit. They've actually been in orbit. They didn't like just barely make it out of the atmosphere past the, what is it again, Jones?
Carmen line. K-A-R-M-A-N. The Carmen line.
Carmen line.
It's the internationally agreed upon like line where space begins. Yes.
Oh my God.
That's how he's talked the whole time? That's how he's always talked? I was unaware of
it. How embarrassing would it be if someone from NASA, an actual astronaut, came back and talked like that about the trip to space?
Oh my God.
Wearing a cowboy hat, by the way.
Yeah. I like the hat. Easy.
Oh my God!
He's a space cowboy.
We went to space. Oh, Richard Branson, stop that!
I'm happy Branson beat him. I am. I am happy Branson beat him.
First into space.
Yeah. Wasn't there a guy? So there was a guy who bid like $28 million or something to ride on this, right?
$28 million.
And then he couldn't go, so they took the 18-year-old kid instead. I kind of think that guy, by the way, at the end of the day, was kind of smart. He said, I'll pay for this thing. Save me a seat on the next one. I don't want to be on the first one. Let's
see how this goes.
Let's make sure that this thing works out well. It's not an Apollo 13 or like on the show review on Comedy Central where he brings his father-in-law up into space. You know, something goes horribly bad. Like, I'll be on the next one. Save my $28 million. I'm good for it, but I'll go on the next one. I have some respect to whoever that nameless
I wanted I was rooting for complications today. I was rooting for him to actually have to do some work on that thing.
Maybe
no such luck.
Float outside and hammer
anything,
something back in.
Anything that would require like a moment of,
guys, oh, I gotta go outside the ship for a minute. Hook me up.
I was not an. I would never root for anyone to die in space flight. That's horrible.
I'm just going to leave the ship and hammer something back in.
I'm rooting for him to earn it. Is all it is. Rooting for him to have that moment of, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have done this.
Oh my God.
There's actually no need for me to go to space.
Okay, guys.
Gosh, damn it. Maybe I should not have done this. I wanted him to get nervous. That's all. Just some nerves.
We're stuck out here longer than we thought. Who are we eating? Something like that, like a survival situation.
Random sports tie-in to today's events. A guy we talked about on the show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Guess who was there at the launch watching and also tweeting after the fact about supporting the mission today? I can't believe I'm calling it a mission. What a jackass I am. Tony Gonzalez. Recently departed from Fox Sports, going to be trying his hand at acting.
Playing Bezos in a movie?
Tweeted out.
Hey, he's method acting right now.
Tweeted out this morning as this was going on just after 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So proud of our friends for exploring the future. At Jeff Bezos tagged, as is Oliver Damon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.